On today's episode, we're going to be discussing how to be a good dog parent. So let's just jump right in. We only got a few points to get through. So Magda, do you want to start us off with the first point?
Welcome to The Woofy Show, the ultimate dog lover's digest. Meet your hosts, Ryan and Magda, two dog lovers ready to help you be the best dog parent, unravel the mysteries of canine behavior, and keep you updated on the latest trends in the dog world. This podcast has something for everyone. Get ready for heartwarming stories, expert advice, and a lot of laughs.
Yes, the first point is you need to understand exactly what you're getting yourself in for.
Yes, that's so true.
There's so many people that get a dog and they just get the dog because it looks cute, yep, rather than understanding exactly what type of health problems this dog will have, what type of grooming needs it needs, yep, and what type of exercising. And that dog just does not fit your lifestyle, then there's going to be that disconnect. Yeah. It's going to be very hard for you to be the best dog parent you can be if you don't understand, yeah, your dog.
If it's not, like you said, if it doesn't match your lifestyle, you can't be a good dog parent because you'll be frustrated all the, yeah, time. You'll get annoyed, or you'll just be like exhausted trying to keep up with that crazy high energy dog if you didn't want that kind of life.
Yeah. Like there's so many times you see dog parents, you know, and they're like, oh, I shouldn't have gotten that breed,
yes,
because I didn't know. Or like people get golden doodles and they become allergic to them, and, yes, then the golden doodles end up in shelters. Yeah. Because they were told that that's the truth, but it's not. It's a myth. So, yeah, you really need to do your research before you get a dog and, yeah, exactly what this dog needs.
Well, yeah. So I guess understanding the dog's needs, or the dog that you want, understanding their needs. Yeah, that would help you. That's pretty much it for that,
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you're going to otherwise become frustrated with yourself, yeah, with the dog, with the situation, with everything. Mm. How are you meant to be a good person, a good owner to, yes, that dog when you just don't get it?
That's so true. That's very simple, basic, common sense, hopefully. But yeah, not always common sense, but no, that's a good first point. The next one we want to talk about is kind of creating a safe and stimulating environment for your dog. So we're talking about, like, obviously safe. So make sure there's nothing dangerous, especially as a puppy. We talked about that in a previous episode. Making sure if you have a bigger dog, you're not in this tiny little apartment. You have the space for them to run around. For the stimulating environment, same thing. Make sure you have lots for them to do. Make sure you're constantly training them. You have mental and physical activities for them to do. Make sure you have places you can take them on a walk. Don't just go to some tiny little inner city dog park that they have, you know, barely any room to do anything and think that's safe for them or stimulating, because it's not. So that's a big one of just, yeah, making sure, again, and this goes back to their first point of understanding your dog's needs and the type of dog you get. Depending on what type of dog you have, they require kind of different needs in the sense of, or different environment for to be stimulated and to be safe. Again, a big dog needs a lot of space. A little tiny dog you can have in your little apartment, things like that. So that's a huge one. And just by having that, it makes everything easier for you and the dog and how you raise them. Imagine a German Shepherd in a tiny little apartment would be very stressful for you. And then that would come across on the dog, and you can't be a good dog parent or huskies. People have huskies in apartments, and the neighbors hate the noise.
I feel like it's important to think about just standard children. When you think about being a good dog parent, is like, how would you describe a parent, right?
Okay.
Like, obviously, a parent would look after the welfare of, yes, their child at all times, making sure there's no sharp objects, yes, anywhere and things like that, because you are the one that's protecting that, yep, thing, right? So I think, yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, safe. You don't know what things to look out for, especially if you have a puppy. Check out our, yeah, previous episode. But then stimulating is a big one, like you said. Yeah. And not stimulating, like, don't leave the wrong things lying around. Because, yeah, fine, those shoes for a puppy will be stimulating, but you don't want them to be.
Well, yeah, you have to be like a standard parent is to you. You should be a lifelong teacher.
Yes.
Right? You need to teach it that this is right, this is wrong, yeah, right?
Yeah, which I think leads directly into the next point of teaching.
Yes, training and socialization. Yeah. So, yes, as a dog parent, the best thing that you can do for them is to train them and yeah. never stop.
Yes.
That's the problem. Yeah. People get their puppies, they get them to the puppy school, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it ends there.
Yeah. Now, I did read something the other day on that. And yeah, it shouldn't end there, but it did say that a dog that goes to puppy classes or like basic obedience classes before 6 months of age usually fare better as throughout their lives, and they have less behavioral problems. So again, don't just stop after one class, but definitely if you are only going to take one class, which you should take more, the puppy class or the basic obedience class when they're under 6 months, if you get a puppy, of course, is probably the most important.
Yeah.
But don't stop. Keep going.
That's the thing. Yeah. And also be mindful, you know, if there are parents out there that have kids, you wouldn't let your kid hang out with the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, you know, especially a toddler, yeah. right? Like you wouldn't meet up with people that you know they're going to be a bad influence on them and yeah. things like this. It's the same with the dog. Don't take your dog to hang out with other dogs that you don't really know.
Yeah.
You're not sure how they're going to play, what's the play style and things like that, because that could potentially really traumatize your dog yeah. and cause lifelong problems.
Yeah.
So you need to be always mindful about what environments you are putting your dog in.
Yeah.
It's good to put them in environments that are stimulating and it socializes them to things like new people and new dogs, but you just have to be mindful to do it in moderation and when your dog is ready. So
yes.
don't just throw them into things yeah. more, you know, just steady.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the same thing when you're out for a walk with your dog, don't let your dog meet every other dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. They want to socialize and they want to meet them, but then they get that habit of every time they see a dog, that means they get to go say hi and play and all of that. And that's like, although it's socialization, that's like the wrong way to do it or too extreme kind of like
yeah,
on the far
there's
end.
There's a moderation, yeah. right? You can do like, yeah. yeah, you can do.
Yeah.
a lot of things in too much, yeah. right? People take it to extremes and it doesn't have to be that way. You just need to use your common sense a little bit, right? Today we're going to go for a walk and we're going to meet every other dog
yeah.
or, you know, maybe just two
that's
dogs.
Not the way, yeah. So then that's how you, that's a good way of socializing
yeah.
your dog.
So then your dog recognizes that it's not every single thing that they need
yeah.
to, you know, go after and say hello to.
And then on the training aspect, and I know I mentioned classes, but that doesn't mean only classes. Like training is such a great bonding experience between you as the pet parent or the dog parent and the dog. So just training at home and little things here and there, just even like the basic stuff that I already know, just keep doing them. Keep reinforcing that sit, that down, that stay.
Yeah, always.
Always.
Like we
and
still
that's,
do
that's
it.
Bonding because that's still like you're bonding with your pet. You're bonding with your dog. And that's how you be a better dog parent because they're going to continually remember like, okay, when you say this word or this command, I know what to do and they're going to listen. And it goes back to the other points of like, you won't get frustrated when all of a sudden, oh, you haven't asked your dog to lay down in months and now they're
yeah.
not doing it anymore. And you're like, oh, my
but
dog's
like,
broken.
The important thing about training is you as a dog parent, you have to take that initiative.
Yes.
You need to be the one that, you know, doesn't let your dog do bad things
yeah.
all the time and then be like, oh my gosh, it's gone so far now.
Yeah.
It's been such a long time when my dog has been chewing on shoes and now I have an issue
yeah.
and now it's gone. Like you can't fix it yourself.
Yeah.
You need help. You need to be the one being proactive
yes.
about fixing these issues as soon as they arise.
Yes.
I have a video that I was looking at today, I think, about when I was holding Maple and she literally jumped and bit my nose.
Oh, yes.
She was a puppy.
Yeah.
And she was doing that a lot.
Yeah.
She was like jumping out and like nipping,
yeah, nipping
and, you know,
and puppies
puppy
do.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were like, oh my God, like we have to research everything about
yeah.
this to make sure that this doesn't get out of hand because I don't want her to start jumping at people and start biting
thinking
their noses.
Yeah,
like this
yeah.
is okay. thing to do.
Can't be a good dog parent if your dog's biting strangers. That's facts right there.
Well, you can't be a good dog parent when you just allow something that's a bad behavior to happen. You need to teach that
yeah.
dog the right from wrong. And it's a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
It's not just puppy time, yeah. right?
Oh, I taught my dog this. They know it forever. No. Yeah. It's not quite like riding a bicycle. I guess if you went 20 years without riding a bike, you'd probably struggle a little bit. You
know? But if you start slacking with like those sits or those stands or
the basic stuff too. Yeah,
the basic things. If you start slacking because you think your dog already knows these things, they're going to get clever and they're going to start testing you. Yeah. And they're going to just like, you know, oh, I got away with it last time. Mm-hmm. So what's next time?
I'm not getting rewarded for the people that you know, reward their dogs for good behavior. It's like, well, I'm not getting rewarded anymore, so I'm not going to listen.
Yeah. And every single time you are with your dog, it's an opportunity to train. Yeah. That's also the thing. And a lot of people say, oh, I don't have time to train. Like, you do.
You do. Five minutes.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like an hour long thing.
Exactly.
You know, you are feeding your dog, for instance. That time of feeding your dog is an opportunity for you to train your dog to not jump on encounters.
Well, to sit and stay. And like wait till she gets released to eat every day.
Yeah, every
single
day.
Sometimes she tries to creep forward before the bowl to get to the bowl. I'm like, no, get back in your place. Just wait.
Yeah.
I will release you. Like, you know, although she's drooling like crazy and I can't take too long. Yeah. Otherwise, she'll make a mess for you.
Bloody puddle everywhere.
But no, that's a huge one. That's definitely something just that like never
constantly
ends.
Be conscious about your dog's behavior and not allowing bad things to go on for too long. Yeah. Just do your research. There's so many YouTube channels that teach you how to do things. Do it.
Or check out one of our podcast episodes with a guest. They might have some answers.
You can learn absolutely anything on the internet, and you can Google different ways of training your dog, and you don't need to wait until you need the dog trainer to train your dog.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, certain circumstances you might, but
Yeah.
But if you're a good dog parent, you hopefully shouldn't get to that level.
Yeah, because you will do your research. Yeah. You will do everything that's possibly humanly possible for you as a person and as that dog owner to make sure that your dog is a good dog.
Dogs don't come around by accident. I'm not saying babies don't, but like technically they can.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, dogs.
I was an accident.
You have to consciously purchase one or get one. Yeah. You have to say the word yes.
It's that conscious decision.
So do your research.
Yeah. So why can't you apply that same consciousness in every single aspect of that dog's life, right?
Yeah, that's huge. That's a big
one. Yeah, I guess the next point is obviously healthcare and wellness.
Yeah, so that one's big. That's just, you know, keeping up with vet visits, keeping up with grooming, if your dog needs to be groomed. If you're not someone who grooms the dog yourself or checks the nails and all that, there's things that you don't notice. Like we had the guest from the grooming salon here, and the amount of things they noticed about dogs' health and wellness just from when they're washing them and brushing them and drying them and all of that things. And that's a huge thing. And that's something, again, we cut Maple's nails, and since we do it kind of regularly, we're noticed, okay, one of her nails has been cracked. If you're not very proactive on looking at your dog in that kind of way, you don't notice these things. And it's just like, oh, they just got to do the yearly visits.
But that's a really good word. Like, just be proactive.
Yeah. I think that's just the,
right. That, like, that's like, oh, a I have not brushed my dog's teeth in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I should probably
look
do
at
it.
Them.
Look even
at them
though
too,
I don't want to, but like it is my responsibility as a good dog parent to do these things. Yeah. Oh, you know, my dog hasn't been brushed in a week. Maybe we should do it because, you know, otherwise she's going to get matted and she will get stuff stuck to her head.
And then again, the very first point is keep up with vet visits. We all know the vet's expensive and we don't really want to go there sometimes, but just checkups, just like us humans, we don't get... Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to the doctors in like 10 years.
Yeah, the right person.
But but I'm saying, but I know what's wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's me. But for a dog, you don't know if they're in pain, like, because they can't communicate with us.
Yeah.
Now, don't overreact and think, my dog's being really like lethargic and lazy today. Something must be wrong.
Maybe it's just an off day, right?
But it's something that you do need to do because they could have... You know, the skin irritation that you don't notice.
They could have cancer that you can't see.
There's just so many little things. So just kind of, again, being proactive on going to We're going to see how many times we can say that word on this episode. Yeah. And then wellness as well of making sure they have a good diet. Don't be constantly, make sure they're not overweight. Make sure they're not eating crap. And if like you have kids, they're not feeding them like things they shouldn't be eating.
The thing with diet, right, is that we all love our dogs.
Yes.
We all want them to eat.
Yeah.
And spoil them. And we all want to just love them and all these things. But your responsibility as a dog parent is to make sure that your dog is healthy.
Yes.
That's number one priority. Yeah,
well-fed is well-fed, but just because they ate a lot doesn't mean they're healthy.
Yes, exactly. And there's so many dogs that struggle with being overweight, and it's just wrong.
Yeah.
And you as a dog parent, you have to have that. You have to sit back and realize these things. What you are doing to your dog is wrong. Even though it's coming from the right place because you love that dog and you want it to be happy and, enjoy that food or that snack or whatever. You're not doing them any favors.
No.
And I can't tell you that even when they're looking at you with those puppy eyes and they're like, I want that cheese.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no, you can't have it because I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And then being strict for a good reason.
Yeah. And then again, going to the vet and you'll learn that your dog is overweight. We had that with Maple. No, she wasn't over. She was like a tiny little bit. They're like, she can use to lose like a couple pounds. And so we, lowered her food and it was hard.
It was very hard.
And we hate her, but she's like in a good, healthy weight now and everything's fine. Yeah. And it was just, only temporary.
I was super proactive, because I genuinely want what's best for my dog. Yeah. And I was asking everyone like on Instagram and things being like, if someone has struggled with weight, tell me what did you do? Because I want to know how I can help my dog to lose weight in a healthy manner rather than, playing this guessing game.
Yeah. Right. And there's tons, like you said, tons of resources. There's tons of people that you probably know.
Yeah.
And again, they're all going to have different ideas and it's up to you to decide.
Like someone asked me about thyroid and I'm like, no, her thyroid's good. Yeah. Like, don't worry about that.
But these are things that people will ask and that's good. Like the dog world, as weird as it is, they can be very helpful as well. But just, take everything with a grain of salt and decide what you want to do or try multiple things. And that goes on to like training discussions.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what parenting is though. Yeah. It's trying different things, failing, improving,
I imagine if we had kids, we would do that, but we don't know. I think that's happened to me as a kid. Yeah. You would just,
you fell
out of that tree. Be a bit careful next time, Don't do that again.
Smack you across the head.
As a teenager, you get a speeding ticket. Oh, well, don't do that again. And it's just learning. But being proactive.
Yeah.
And, trying things
out
for their healthcare moments.
That's the thing. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the time, dog parents, because your dog can't communicate, they just get like stagnant.
Well, like everything's on autopilot.
And they don't do anything.
No, they just feed them the same food at the exact same dimes.
It's like there is a problem.
Thing.
You need to realize this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we'll do a whole nother video on like training and paying attention and all of that. Like there's a lot we can really dive deep into this topic. So we'll have to do a future
episode. Dog is reactive to birds or rabbits or something. And they don't do anything about it.
They're just like, oh, well, that's my dog.
That's just my dog.
Yeah.
And it's like,
which will go back
to
training. That's the training point. But
why don't you go home and sit down and do some research and try different things? Yeah. Because,
that's how you be a better dog parent.
Yeah, exactly.
That's simple.
By understanding your dog.
Point number one.
Yes, what your dog needs, because different dogs need different things and they will learn differently. And you as a dog parent, you need to understand how your dog learns. What do they need to, be less reactive? Do you need to build space between that thing that's making
them
reactive?
And these are things, like you said, do your own research or find a trainer. Find a trainer that specializes in reactive dogs. Find that specialist
that can help you.
If you need that, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. For that point, we'll move on to the next one, which is building a strong bond, which is, I mentioned a little bit in
your parents didn't spend any time with you.
Yeah, you'd be like, who are these strangers?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that simple.
It would not be, they would not be parents. Yeah. They would not parent you
and
properly.
And dogs love it. Everything you do to build a bond is fun. Probably for the dog and you as a dog parent. It's training. It's going for walks. It's playing. Like, that's what building a strong bond
is. It's doing fun things together.
Engaging with your dog together. Doing things with your dog together. So they know, like, hey, this is playtime. This is fun time. This is training time. This is listen. I got to listen. This is feeding time. That kind of thing. So they look to you as their parent, just like a child looks to you as your parent of like, hey, let's go. I'm bored.
But like, I can't explain just how amazing it feels to have that bond with your dog, right? And like, even like understanding your dog's body language. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like that creates a bond too, because then you get it. You know, you go somewhere and your dog's like ears perk up and you're like, oh, I get it. Like you are scared of this and that thing. Like, let's turn around. Yeah. Let's do something else. Right. So it's just incredible.
Yeah. And then again, then that is building a strong bond.
It's almost
right there.
Like you can communicate with that dog and you can feel them out of how they feel because you spend so much time with them and you put that time to understand them.
And then they're happy because, their ears perked up. They're a bit nervous. So you turn around and you go the other way or whatever. So now they're happy. They're not distressed and be like, why are you putting me through that? Mm. Why are you being a terrible parent? Like, I don't like this kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to put them outside of the comfort zone, right? But that there is a boundary.
Well, yeah.
Right?
We have an episode coming out in the future about, what was it? Constructional
approach to training.
Which is, it talks about that in a lot more in depth. So wait for that episode, but you're right. And then and when we say like a strong bond, it's not just like training, like cool tricks. It is training, but training like with walking. So maybe all of a sudden your dog normally sees another dog and wants to go to them and you've been kind of bonding with them and working with them. And then all of a sudden one day you're for a walk and there's another dog and they completely ignore it. That's like such a same thing, an amazing feeling of like, wow, my dog just ignored.
Like, my dog actually thinks I'm cool.
Yeah, Maple had that where she would freeze when we were walking past other dogs. And every time. She still occasionally does it, but there's lots of times she'll just walk by and just be like, meh, don't really care. And it's like, that's awesome because, you know, we worked with her on that. Mm. We worked on walking. We worked on, you know, paying it, like looking at us kind of thing.
Yeah.
And these are just cool things that are everyday things that you do with your dog, but it gives you that reward and they're happy too because they're comfortable.
Yeah.
So
I can't explain just how much like a bond with your dog is so important.
Yeah. People that have multiple dogs, I don't know how you do it. I mean,
like,
we'll find out in the future. We'll find out when we get our second and maybe third dog in the future. But
that's the thing.
But I think you just work on one at a time, you know, kind of thing. And then, I don't know.
Well, you're always going to have your favorite.
Yeah. I guess
just like, children? A normal parent,
You
always have a favorite. Yeah. They're lying to you.
It's so true. So the next point we have is responsible ownership. So being a responsible owner. Want to talk a little bit about that one?
It's such a deep point.
I guess so. That's a whole thing. Yeah, we'll do a quick little thing
being
on this one.
A responsible owner to your dog, it means that you know your dog and you basically acting in a way to just make their lives just great.
Well, in their best interest. You're acting in their best interest.
Yes. So for instance, you know, if you put your dog into doggy daycares, make sure that you research those doggy daycares. If you are going to a dog park, make sure that you know, your dog is ready for that.
And just quickly on the dog park. So say that's the thing you do and your dog's fine and you normally go to the dog park for an hour every day. If you're there for 20 minutes and all of a sudden there's a dog there that your dog has never met and they're a little bit unsure or maybe there's
take
a little bit
away.
Of argue.
Take
yeah,
them
don't
out.
Be like, oh, well, it hasn't been my hour yet. Take them away. That's being responsible. Being like, okay, maybe that dog being here, they're not playing nicely.
Yeah, it's
let's
just
go.
Not our day.
And
let's
that's where you'd be
out.
Responsible. Yeah. Or your dog's just not having a good day and they're just like picking fights with everybody. Don't be like, well, I'm here for an hour, so I'm going to wait it
but
out.
Also, like, if you know your dog is nervous, if you know your dog is reactive, if you know your dog is aggressive, why would you put it in that situation? Why would you go to the dog park? Like, just be responsible.
I mean, it's just those people
Have a cell of a brain.
I think if the people that are listening to this probably aren't like that.
Yeah.
Because you're listening. You're doing research on dogs. Yeah. If you're listening to our podcast. So you're probably not one of those people. Yeah. But you might know somebody like that. It's no different than parents with their kids. It's like, why are you doing that with your kid? Like, you're an idiot. Mm. And that's just what it is. It's just...
But like, even things like, you know, if you are spaying your dog, okay, neutering your dog, that's being responsible.
Yes.
Or if your dog is in heat, don't let them hang out with other dogs.
Yeah, don't take them to the dog
park.
Be
responsible.
Or if you have a backyard with a like open kind of chain link fence, don't let them out unsupervised.
Yeah.
Because.
Or like if you know your dog doesn't have a good of a recall, don't let them just hang out at the front of your house when you're shoveling snow.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And there's cars going by.
Well, don't just let them off leash in general.
Be responsible.
There's so many things about responsible ownership. And it's the same thing with feeding. Like, be responsible with feeding your dog. Be responsible with crate training your dog. Be responsible with training your dog.
Be responsible over the tools that you use on your dog. Make sure that you check everything that you put on your dog to make sure that this dog is safe. There's just so many things. That's why it's so deep.
A responsible adult.
Just adult with your dog. Like, you might not have kids. That's why you chose to have a dog. But still, it's the same principle. Like, this is a living, breathing, you know,
being. Yes. I almost said human being. To us, she is.
Yeah. And they need the same type of attention and the same type of care that a human child would need.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, that one, just summarize, be responsible. Owner, literally what it says.
Yeah.
And I think, we don't have to elaborate on that one anymore on this episode. So we got two more points left.
So handling challenges and behavioral issues. So in order to be a good dog parent, don't give up on your dog just because they're a bit naughty.
Yeah. Like, you know, and work with them.
Be a responsible dog parent and maybe take some initiative in order to fix those issues and work on those issues. Don't just throw in the towel and be like, oh, my dog is broken.
Yeah.
And that's, there's nothing I can do, right?
Yeah,
I can't talk to this dog. I can't tell them, hey, you are naughty. Don't do that. Like, you can, you just have to speak in their language by training them every day.
Yeah. And that's just like a lot of the other points kind of have to do with this one. For the behavioral issues, say your dog is a crazy puller on a leash. Work on it. Do some research. Maybe there's certain tools. Maybe you need a certain harness to wear you did the thing with the collars, the one where it's at like the front of them.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called.
I wouldn't put a harness on the puller to begin with.
No, but like the thing where the leash is on the front of them. So when they turn, what is it called?
A halter, yeah. I think you mean.
I think that helps.
The thing on
I don't know. Mouth. Regardless, the right tools.
Tools. And if you are wondering about leashes and collars, we do have episodes on that. So check them out.
But it's just working with your dog. I mean, and especially during the terrible teenage years, if you had a puppy, like that's when it gets hard.
That's when dogs normally end up in shelters, right?
Yeah. And so like, just power through it. I mean, it's not like, and it's annoying that you can just do that. I know you can like hypothetically you can do that with children too, but it's not
very
easy.
Get rid of your child?
Yeah. It's like babies and they leave them on people's strangers' porches.
Like, hey, I'm going to just put you in a basket.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just like just work with them. If they're chewing everything, then remove everything so they can't chew it.
If you are giving up on your dog, you are not being a good dog parent.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's too late for you.
Yeah.
This episode is probably too late for you. Maybe learn and then try again in the future. We're okay with that.
Yeah. You need to be able to make peace with the fact that your dog doesn't know any better and you have to be that teacher, that guardian, you know, that person that is able to handle these difficult situations.
For sure. Yeah. And it's just, pretty much being like, kind of persevering through those challenges?
If a child, you know, me and you, we have been teenagers and we were absolute nightmare. Well, yeah. Maybe not you, but I have been a nightmare as a teenager. And, you know, your parents have to be able to handle it somehow. Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Don't just give up. Like, a dog's life is so much shorter. The nightmare stage of a teenager is, like, depending on the dog, that's their whole life, you know? So yeah, it's hard, but it's only going to be hard for a couple months.
Yeah.
It's like teething phase as a puppy. It's only a month. Potty training, it's a month or two, you know, or 3 months, depending on, you know, how proactive you are with the dog. I like that word. And yeah, just keep working. Just keep working. You know, like you said, do your research. If you have to, find a professional, find a trainer, find someone that can help you. But remember, they can only go so far. You have to be still putting in that work, you know, at home. You can do your hour every week or 2 hours a week of training. But what about the other? Mm. I don't want to do the math of how many hours are in a week, but, you know, you have to continually, like, practice and work.
But that's the thing. Like, people need to realize that a good dog trainer will not teach your dog.
No.
They will teach you.
Yes.
Because you're the one that should be teaching your dog.
And you can tell if you're someone who goes to training classes, and you can always tell who practiced the week before. Because they come back and it's like, okay, like, you always start the class with like what you worked on last week. And some of the dogs are just like,
that's why, like, so funny. I don't really believe in this whole board and train situation, because, I mean, this has gone a little bit off topic, but anyway, like, I'll just quickly say what I've got to say.
Sure.
This whole board and train thing, when you put your dog with a trainer for 2 weeks or something to work on specific issues, like, okay, they can work on these things and they can claim that your dog's an angel by the end of it, or they can, like, show you quick videos or whatever, right? Yeah. Whilst you're on holiday enjoying your mojito. But when you come back to that dog and that dog hasn't learned those skills with you as a dog parent,
in your environment,
they're just going to come back home and continue doing what they were doing.
I mean, they might be like 20% better, but they're not going to be 100% better. Like, yeah, it's so true. It's
like they need to teach you how to handle your own dog.
Yes. It's you, like, need to handle the challenges and behavioral issues, not relying on someone else. Relying on someone else is like, it's like using a coach.
Yeah.
Which some coaches
have done. A lot of people want these, like, black and white answers, and they won't just hand over the responsibility to someone else, being like, hey, fix my dog. Here's my dog.
Yeah.
Come back better, right? And it doesn't work that way.
No. They can work on the dog to find out what's causing the problems, but then it's, again, up to you to fix the problems.
Yeah.
Or work with the trainer to fix the problems. Yeah.
If you don't know exactly, you know, maybe I'm doing this wrong, maybe I'm doing that wrong, you know, the dog trainer will be able to assess exactly where you're going wrong with your training.
Yeah.
But it is still your training. Yes. You are the one training your dog.
Exactly. And there's no one size fits all. Just because that trainer you're working with says, do this, if that doesn't work, don't think they're wrong or they don't know what they're talking about. It just doesn't work with your dog. So find a different trainer or find a different resource to, like, there's so many ways you can teach a dog to do something.
We should have an episode just specifically on dog trainers and, like, what to look for, what not to look for.
I think we will. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the list. I don't even know where the list went, but we did have it on the list when we were originally starting this, and we came up with like 20 episodes.
But one of the like, you know, red flags, I guess, for that is when a dog trainer only knows one way.
Yeah. And now you're getting completely off topic. So we'll save that for another episode. That's a sneak peek right there for that episode.
I am so getting off topic.
One last point.
Yes.
For how to be a better dog
being
parent.
Or an being an advocate for your dog. So it kind of just, like,
everything that we
summarizes
just said,
everything.
Pretty much. Yeah. Just, you are the best resource for your dog. You know your dog the best. And this goes with everything. This goes with training. This goes with health, wellness, nutrition. If you go to a vet and they recommend something and you don't trust it, don't.
Yeah.
Just because they're professionals, I did the air quotes for anyone listening on the audio version, doesn't mean they know best, because they have the same answer for every single, it's like they have a chart that says, cool, your dog is doing this, then it's one of these three. It doesn't mean it's the correct answer. If your dog says, oh, hey, you know, or your dog, If your dog says, if only, if the, you know, if the vet says, oh, your dog has this problem, they need to eat this food. Say you try it and it's not, they're vomiting all the time. Be like, okay, maybe that's not a good idea. We tried it and it is, it's, you know, your dog best. You're the one who's with your dog most of the day, minus, I guess, if you're working or sleeping and just knowing, being the advocate for your dog, you know, you're your dog's best friend and everything.
It's just like your parent, like they know you best. So like you wouldn't go to your kid's teacher and ask them, hey, how should I raise my kid?
Yeah. Or same with the same, hey, the little thing.
They are doing this thing where they kind of isolating themselves. Like, what do you think is the best thing I should do with my child? Yeah. It's like, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah. And don't always, like, it's always good to ask if you're unsure. That's what the internet's for. Again, a lot of advice is wrong and a lot of advice is good, but you know, ask, do research, talk to or people you trust. And again, just because you pay somebody doesn't mean they're trustworthy. This is you doing your...
Yeah, and I it mean, doesn't mean like they've got your best interest at heart. A bit like personal trainers, right? They will just milk money out of you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, gym personal trainer. Sorry, exactly. I was like, exactly.
Like they do have maybe your best interest at heart, but they still need to make money. Yeah, so it's like they're just going to take it a little slower, right? Yeah.
And so just, you know, be there for your dog and everything we said, like... Keep an eye on them. Keep checking on them. Keep training them.
Yeah. If your dog needs a muzzle because they're reactive, put a muzzle on them. Like, who cares what everyone else's opinion is? Like, you know your dog's best. So why don't you advocate for those needs?
It's so funny. Yeah. The whole muzzle thing. Like, I've probably seen dogs with muzzles in public, but I don't remember any of them. And that's what people think. Oh, I don't want to be that one person that has a muzzle dog. I can't think of any... That is like in my memory of like, oh, do you remember that time that one dog was muzzled and just was walking near us? No, nobody cares. Just like nobody cares about you when you're walking the street. Nobody gives, nobody cares. The end of the day. There you go. So be your own advocate for your dog.
Yeah.
Because only one that cares is you and your family. Nobody, the end of the day, if you're doing something wrong with your dog and people on the internet are being like, how dare you do that? Or how dare you feed this or train this way? At the end of the day, they're not living with your dog.
Yeah, it's your dog. It's your choice. Yeah. My body, my choice kind of vibe, right?
I guess so.
And it's you're the best person to answer all of your questions that you have.
Yes, you can get help, but at the end of the day, maybe not. You're the best person to make decisions because you might not have all the answers. So you can get the answers, but you're the best person to make any decision when it comes to your dog because they can't make it for, I mean, they can pick, if you give them two things of food, they'll pick which one they like between the two. But, you know, for the most part, you are. So,
well, like, you know, like we went to a vet and they told us like, you know, she needs this, this and that. And you were like, no, she doesn't. And, you know,
I remember we spoke to our, and that was an emergency vet. And we spoke to our vet afterwards and they were like shocked that they were like, they were like proud of me. Like, oh, God, like, I'm glad you did
were
that.
The advocate for your own dog. And you were
angry.
Like,
I was angry. I was actually, I didn't yell at the vet or anything like that. But I was like, who do you think you are? I was I can't believe it. Again, money, you know, like you said, personal trainers or all of that. At the end of the day, it's a business, you know? And so
that's the problem.
And you have to think that with everything. You have to think that with food, you know, with vets, food, trainers, even like tools for your dog. At the end of the day, they make money. You might buy the coolest looking leash in the world and it lasts a month because it's a piece of crap and it rips or breaks or whatever.
But like if you want that piece of crap, then buy it.
Yeah.
You know, but like you're the advocate for your dog.
It every single time. If it looks pretty,
like, who cares?
It can look pretty and not be practical.
Like as long as your dog's safe, you know, so, as long as you know that you are buying a piece of crap and you're just buying it because your dog needs to look cute one day a year or something, you know, make those decisions for yourself.
Yeah. That's the end of the day. And who cares what people think?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, the internet might scream at you and be like, oh my gosh, you're such a terrible person because you said no to your dog.
Or there's people that are saying like, that's awesome.
I say no to my dog sometimes because that's just, I'm a human being with flaws. Okay. Yeah. And
have you ever said no to a human being when they're like, hey, do you want to go to see this movie? No. looks terrible. I don't want to watch it. Hey, do you want to watch this on Netflix? No. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's literally the same thing.
I think no is very important.
Yes.
In human and non-human communications. And, you know, a lot of positive trainers will be very angry at that.
Well, now it's again being...
But I am my own person and I can make decisions for my own dog. And if I want to say no to my dog, then I will.
But it's not just saying no to your dog. It's just saying no to things. So again, if somebody says, give your dog this, or hey, can I give your dog a hot dog for us? No, you can't give it. We just don't want her to eat that.
It happens all the time.
And that's us being an advocate for our dog. And that's something so little, but it can expand all over the place. Like, don't be afraid. Don't be like, oh my God, why is...
Yeah.
You know, you get just who cares? Be like, oh, my dog's on a diet.
Oh, can they meet your dog?
Yeah. No.
No, not today.
Not today. Oh, happened yesterday, actually.
And I'm a terrible person, but I don't care.
This little girl came up to try to pet Maple just out of nowhere. And her parents or her dad was not paying attention. She's talking to somebody else. And right away, I was just like, no, you can't pet her.
Mm.
Just because she was like kind of zombie walk, hands out. Like, and I was just literally right away. I pulled her away. And it wasn't a pull. Like, I wasn't like correcting her because she was on a leash. But, and again, people are like, why would you pull your dog like that? But to me, cool, I might have pulled the leash or pulled the whatever, but it was to pull her out of danger or a stressful situation. And that's, again, being an advocate for your dog. At the time, I didn't want this kid that was running at Maple with her hands out. And so I kind of had to pull her to like get, so she was behind me kind of thing. And I mean, if I posted that in a certain Facebook group, I might get yelled at, but I don't care because I'm my own advocate. Just like you are.
Exactly. So. Or like when Russell, you know, so there's this big dog that lives next door.
Yes.
And I don't know how old are those kids. Like the little
like
girl, she's
like
maybe
that.
Eight, right? Yeah. And they put harness on him and he's a big puller. And me and Maple went out for a walk and this little girl, 8 years old, is, you know, holding this pulling beast of a dog, being dragged basically. And, you know, and they caught up to us. And I just said, no, you can't let them play together. They're on a leash and I just want to have a peaceful walk. And this dog will literally drag you to the ground and you will hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Like, no, just walk away.
Yeah.
And I did get a little heated because it was rather stressful. I was rude. And I don't care.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's like your kids.
Play with another dog whilst leashed on a sidewalk when there are cars going by too.
And that's it. So all of this, everything we've just said kind of summarizes that point is like, you know your dog best. That's how you be the best dog parent possible is you make the decisions.
Mm.
You decide what's right for your dog. Yes, get help when you need it. Yes, get advice when you need it. But at the end of the day, you're the one making the decisions because the dog is living with you.
Mm.
Period. Done.
Yeah. I mean, this whole episode could be summarized in like one sentence.
Okay. Go.
So in order to be a good dog parent, you need to be a lifelong, proactive, responsible dog trainer to your dog.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it.
Yeah, everyone's a dog trainer. There you go.
Yeah.
We can all start our own business. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Don't want to.
But trainer to your own dog.
That's it, actually. Let's cut out all the stuff we just said and we'll just have that. We'll cut that as a short or a reel or something like that. But you're right. It's so true. It's just never stop advocating, never stop working.
Just like standard human relationships.
Yeah.
You never stop working on it.
Yeah.
Right? If you stop caring, everyone else stops caring. Yeah. And then it's no longer a relationship. Yeah. It's just...
And then now you have problems and challenges and issues and all these things.
How can you be a good person, a good mother, a good dog parent, a good wife, husband, whoever, right? If you don't put in the effort.
Yeah. And that's it. And it's that simple. And if you don't want to do any of these, well, then you're not going to be a good dog parent. Yeah. Actually, okay. You said it. I was thinking it. Don't get a dog. Get a cat, I don't know. I would say get just nothing.
Maybe just stay alone.
Yeah. Reevaluate your life. Come yeah. on.
If you don't want to put effort into
anything. And if you anything, disagree with us, let us know. I want to hear why you think we're both wrong.
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments or the Q&A thing. Yeah. But that's it. Anything else we want to add?
No, that's it.
Yeah. So thanks again for listening or watching this episode. If you got value out of it, make sure you share it with people that maybe aren't as good of a dog parent. Or if you did learn something, let us know below. What was the most important thing to you? Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. Follow us and rate on Spotify and Apple, as that really helps us in the rankings. And also, if there's any topics you want to hear about or learn about, let us know as well. We're still on the lookout for finding more guests in the future.
We also have a new ebook, right?
Oh, yes, we do. I forgot. Yeah. Oh, I spent forever working on that. It has to do with kind of... stimulation and enrichment activities. So there's a link in the description on YouTube.
The Ultimate Guide to Dog Enrichment, yeah. I think it's called.
So it's free.
And
free
it's
to get.
Free. We will include the link below. Yeah. And
it's got some cool recipes for like lick mats and things like that. Cool activities you can do with your dog. And again, that helps with building strong bond and creating a stimulating environment and all
helps
of these things.
Helps you being a good dog parent. So.
And so, or get it and send it to somebody else, you know, it's just an ebook and do whatever you want. But that's it. Thanks everybody for watching and listening, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye for now.